just a little bit after 6 o'clock. Time for some sports in Big Jim's house, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook app. Tigers lose to the Rockies 6-2. A lot of two-out hits by Colorado.
Yeah, their second baseman was like 15 for 15 this weekend.
He actually hit more than 1,000. He was 30 for 15. Yeah, I don't know what they... Colorado's good, man.
Yeah, they Tigers, got a good team.
Little bit, you know what, and I'm not, it's such a long season, you got to pace yourself, but I get the letdown after 3,000.
Yeah.
You don't want to see it, but still.
Well, there's so much build up for it. And
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a lot of hype. In case you didn't hear, Miggy had 3,000. Saturday, first game, got a great story coming up for a buddy of mine.
Oh, geez.
Our neighbor. Oh, we'll get to that in a little bit, talking about 3,000.
Right side.
There it is, man. 3,000. Place went crazy. Miggy did it. Seventh all time, right? Seventh to do 3,000 hits and 500 home runs.
Right.
Right? And then 33rd player, but the first to have a triple crown.
Yeah, nobody else has a triple crown.
That's crazy.
And then as you go further and deeper into the stats, the numbers get lower and lower. I think he's the fourth person to do it with the amount of RBIs and average and...
But I was just, the one I keep coming back to is 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, and a triple crown. No one has ever done that.
Yep.
What?
It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Jim Leland will join us at 8:15, the skipper.
Best I'd ever seen.
Yeah, I want to ask him, does he think it'll ever happen again? I don't think you'll ever see 3,000 hits again.
Yesterday, the Major League batting average was .242 for the season.
Lowest ever in the history of baseball. Yeah.
Chicks dig the long ball, apparently. So, I don't know. But Leland will join us at 8:15. Be fun. The skipper. And I was reading some of his comments about Miggy. There's some baseball stuff. We're going to get into him as well. But the one thing he does say, and we're going to get him to talk about this. The one thing that Miggy does better than anybody he's ever seen. And he coached a guy named Barry Bonds. Who could hit a baseball?
Yeah, a little bit.
Red Wings beat New Jersey 3-0. That was Blashill's last home game over the weekend, right?
You would think so.
He's done. You know, I mean, you're not going to... I don't know what reporters are asking him and stuff. Now it's just awkward. It's like...
Yeah, because you're talking to, like, a guy you know...
Well, you and your wife are getting a divorce. You just don't know it. Or you know it, and you don't want to acknowledge it. We got to go out to dinner with Jeff again? Oh, this is not going to be
good.
It's
like, do we really want to ask him next year's questions?
Right, no. What are you guys doing for the holidays? Well, we're not going to be around your house. NBA playoffs. Denver beats Golden State 126-121. Warriors have 3-run in that series. Miami blows past Atlanta 110-86. Heat lead that one 3-1. Jimmy Butler is your father. I love him. New Orleans over the Suns 118-103. That series is tied 2-2. Ingram? For New Orleans? Damn.
Yeah?
With Booker out, he could be the best guy on the floor right now. He's playing out of his mind. Not out of his mind is Sir Charles Barkley, who I'm not sure what was on his mind last night.
I mean, he's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually. Because if you can feel their body... Uh-huh. Come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
Way out of order right now.
God bless Ernie. Ernie's trying to save him, man. Ernie's like trying to reel Charles back in.
When these guys, when they're banging on you, man, it's just horrible. It's horrible when they're banging on you like that.
He had no idea.
No.
None. And Kenny just let him go.
Shaq's over there like... Yeah, he's talking about banging people, man. That's crazy. Shocker. Oh, my God. I can't do that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, he's just banging and banging.
I mean, he's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually. Because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
Way out of order right now.
Wow, that was horrible.
Sports brought to you by DraftKings. Download the top-rated DraftKings sports app today. Use that code CSX for a special offer when you sign up. Did we post that by any chance?
No.
Saturday for 3,000. I'll bet you a buck. What side do you want to be on? They were there, or yes or no? Someone was there listening right now. It's Monday.
Yeah. I know it's early. I'll go with yes.
Okay. I'm just concerned this is going to turn into Live Bullet all over again, where everybody in Detroit was at Live Bullet.
Right.
Yeah. I was there when Barry got 2,000. How old are you? 12. 248-398-9279. That's our house phone number. Were you there when Maggie got 3,000? I'm telling you, there's no one. No. No.
It is
there's
no early.
Reason to write. Damn it. That's quick. Ooh, that's right. Quick.
Was that the most, like, hilarious route to 3,000 hits ever? The most eventful? You get intentionally walked on your last at bat earlier in the week. Friday's game gets canceled, so
right.
Everybody gets to miss that one.
It was a very circuitous route, yes, to get there. It took a while. Now, a friend of mine, our neighbor Chris, great story. We got home yesterday. We went to Pennsylvania for the weekend to go see our family, in-laws. 87 years old, man.
Yep.
Got mom and dad still rocking. And they, my neighbor's Chris, I go, man, maybe 3,000. He's a big Tigers fan. Yeah. Did you go? He's like, kinda. Like, what do you mean, kinda? So they got tickets for the game. They bought tickets in one of the parking garages. I didn't ask him which one. They bought, when they got to the parking garage, it was oversold.
Oh, they did like the pre-park.
Yeah.
You can do it on the
app. Yeah, you buy it ahead of time, right. And you go. So they've done it over park.
Oh, my gosh.
But they've already paid for it. So now they're driving around trying to find somewhere else to park. And he's got the kids, and they're hustling around trying to get all this done. So they finally find a place to park. They get there. Now there's the line because it takes a little longer to get to America because of security and yada, yada, yada. And there's a ton of people, right? He's in line, and Mickey's at the plate, and he's like, please don't get a hit. Please don't get a hit. Please don't get a hit. And he hears it. So he didn't see it. He had tickets for the game, and he didn't see it because he was in line trying to get into Comerica.
Oh, my gosh. That's so horrible. You don't even get the TV. Like, you're not in the concourse, so you can't see a TV of the action or anything. You just hear the roars.
Right.
Oh.
He heard the announcer go, now, batting in Miguel Cabrera. He's like, please, no, please, no, please, no.
Right side, there it is.
Jim Leland at 8:15, by the way. We'll talk with the skipper.
Oh, man. If I didn't have the kids, I'd have just turned around and went back in my car and left.
He was so crestfallen yesterday. I'm like, yeah, right, Chris? He's like, man.
That's such a bummer.
All right, I bet you a buck. There's nobody listening who was there on Saturday. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. So were you there Saturday?
I was there Thursday when they walked him.
Yeah.
And it was not a good sight. And then I was there Friday when it got rained out. I went back there Saturday morning, sat out in K-Line Corner, and I did see it.
So wait a minute. Did you do a single seat? Just you?
I did.
That's a real baseball fan.
Just
I will gladly
history, yep.
Give up that dollar. I'm in awe of one-seaters, man. Good on you, Rick.
I got emotional, but, hey, it was worth it. I mean, it was great.
You saw history. You witnessed history.
I did.
And Ryan had a great question. We're going to ask Leland about this. 8:15, Jim Leland will be on with us in Big Jim's house. We want to ask Leland if he thinks there's going to be another 3,000 hitter.
Wow.
Right?
The way
baseball's going, they're all hitting home runs.
The closest is Joey Gallo, and he's got only a couple years left.
Really?
I don't think so.
He's the closest, and he's, by closest, I mean about 500 hits away.
So, wow. All right. Well, Rick, we're glad you went, and I gladly give the dollar.
That's awesome,
that
man.
All right, bud?
Yep. Thank you. Have a good morning.
You got it, man. Thanks for listening. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Jim.
So you went?
Oh, absolutely.
Damn it.
Took my wife for her birthday, and he did it on her birthday.
Oh, so you already had these tickets?
Actually, no. I went down there. I got off of work real quick, and we swung down there, and I went to standing room only, got tickets, $25. In we go. First at bat, single at the right field. It was amazing. It was great.
So what was the vibe? I mean, everybody in the crowd was just, it was like everyone was in such a happy mood.
Oh, it was the best base Tiger game I've been to. I even went to the 84 World Series game four where Alan Trammell hit the two homers, and this was better than that.
Wow.
That's amazing. So cool.
It was amazing.
And standing room only is the place to see it, man. I saw the Tigers clinch. That's where all the party is. Everybody just wants to actually see it, so they pay that $25 to get in there and stand around.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I was on the first base side, so I saw it clear as day. It was amazing. I'll never forget it. It'll be with me for the rest of my life.
That's cool, man.
I have a significant Miguel Cabrera collection, so I think that's going to raise the value. I got autographs all over the place with Miggy.
Well, Leland will be on at 8:15. We'll talk with the skipper about Miggy and his love for him, man. So we hope we got time, Tony. All right, buddy.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Later. Bye-bye.
That's cool. I'll gladly give up a buck for that. And Tony, great call. But Rick, that's a fan. If you go down and you do one ticket on your own, and how many times did he go back?
Three games in a row. Yeah.
What a badass.
That's so cool. Now, I don't know if I saw correctly, but it might have been Miggy throwing it up to his family. But did you see it? He threw the ball into the crowd.
Had to be to his mom.
It had to be, because I know they were sitting right behind the dugout. But he went like this and then tossed it. I'm like, no way he gave that up to somebody.
What are you doing, Miggy? and then Stafford was there.
Yeah, that was cool. He was there for it.
Did you know he went to high school with Clayton Kershaw?
I can't believe they didn't bring that up somehow.
Oh, Stafford was in town. Of course he was here for Miggy. No, he was actually donated $1 million to the Police Athletic League to help out there. Of his own money. That jerk, he left. It's awesome, man. It was history over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
By the way. Let me see. What is it? Oh, are you Votto? You said Gallo.
Yeah, I don't know why I said, who's Joey Gallo?
You got some wine on your mind this morning?
That's somebody.
Remember old Joey Franzia, famous batter.
Thanks.
How much wine did you drink this weekend? I remember old Joey Bartles and James. He'd get up there and hit. Anyway. So Joey Votto is the one?
He's the closest active player, yeah, but not even close in the grand scheme of it. Plus, he can't hit anything right now out in New York. So.
No. Now, Joey Franzia, he can hit. That guy, man, really coming up in next less than 20. I didn't say years this morning, 20 minutes. See, because I don't make mistakes. To go see those guys, Whitesnake, I just pointed at the screen over here. I don't know why. And Scorpions, August 30th at Pine Knob. Beat the Box Office. By the way, I saw David Coverdale was rehearsing with the band. They are saying this is their last tour.
Oh, Whitesnake. Wow.
Yeah. And with him, I don't believe it at all because he's having way too much fun.
Yeah.
If you follow one classic rocker on Twitter, follow him. He is the funniest guy on Twitter.
Yep.
He's a complete smartass. Here's your clue. If you've never played Reeling in the Ears, just three clips, 1 year, all you have to do is tell us the year. We'll play in about 10 minutes. Eagles Love Crime.
Good clue.
I saw Amy got it. Ernie in on that one?
Yeah, Ernie got it. Bob Spada got it.
Hi, Bob. We have some listeners that it's like a game to see if they can get it based solely on the clue. What am I getting yelled at? Hi, Ian.
Hey, Big Jim. How you doing, man?
Good. What did I do?
You gave that dollar away way too easy to Ryan, man. Anybody and their mother could call the radio station and be like, yeah, I was there, dude. What you should have done is, A, like, have the person spell the last name of the pitcher that gave up the hit. And that's a pretty long name. So I would go Double or Nothing, Ryan, just to let you know. Also, second thing, there is actually two players in the league. One's Joey Gallo. He plays for the Yankees. And Joey Votto plays for the Cincinnati Reds. Okay.
So, I was just going through all that.
I hope you're not going through the whole, like, he drank too much wine thing, because he actually really didn't. He actually was kind of spot on. I don't know which guy he was talking about, but... there are two guys in the league. I don't know if it's Votto or Gallo that's close to 3,000, but no one's going to get to 3,000 ever. There's too many guys trying to hit the long ball all the time.
Yeah, the game's different. Hitters,
huge. And Big Jim, you would know this. Remember Tony Gwynn back in the day in the 80s?
Do I remember Tony Gwynn? He's like my favorite player of all time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He's like, he was like the purest hitter out there. He just hit the ball wherever they pitched it to. So if they pitched it, outside right corner, he just drive it to the right side. No one does that anymore.
Well, we're going to have Leland. We'll have Leland on at 8:15. Jim Leland will join us at 8:15 this morning, talk about Miggy getting 3,000. And we are going to ask him that question.
He's like the best. He's the best manager of all time for the Tigers. You know that, right?
Well, I think some folks might say Sparky. Yeah.
Spartan, close, one or two, yeah. Because I grew up in, I went to the World Series in 84. I was there. when I was 12. So, yeah, so I wanted just to call, and I think Ryan should go Double or Nothing.
I think Ryan should give me the damn dollar back. I've already financed your kid's crib, basically, this stupid bet. So,
hey, you're the one who makes them.
Yeah, it's nice to know you're listening in the morning, man. We appreciate you being out there.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, guys. And I did go to the game on Thursday for real because I know Mike Montgomery pitched for the Yankees, and I was irate when they walked him. And it's a funny story real quick. My son and I were actually at the game, and I turned and looked at him, and I said, something's really not right here. It's second and third with one out. They got a base open. Watch, they walk them. And sure as you know what, they walk them.
Yeah, yeah. Look at
you. Yeah, everybody saw that one coming.
Hey, bud, have a good week. Have a good week. I know we always say have a good Monday, but have a good week. Later.
You got it. See you guys.
That's a good call. He kind of slapped you, and then he complimented you at the same time. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he called you on Gallo, and then you were right on Gallo.
I had the players' names right, just wrong team, wrong time.
Must have been the wrong team. Must have been the right time. Hi, good morning, Big Jim's house. Now, what's your name?
Hey, good morning. This is Deb.
Hi, good morning. So now, wait a minute. It says here your boys were at the game. Who was there?
No, my kids. My son bought my daughter the tickets about a month ago for her birthday. So who would have ever known that they would have been in a game where history was made? So it was pretty cool.
Did your son, have you talked to him after the game? At any point, did he try to get the tickets back?
No. They had a great time. It was awesome.
So that's cool.
What a birthday present. She'll remember that forever.
Wow.
That's funny, though, because Thursday, everybody was mad about the intentional walk where they were cheering. Yes, right. Yes, get to center.
I know. Well, and we kept thinking, are they going to walk them again, you know? And then, so it was cool.
So whoever had tickets for the second game of the doubleheader on Saturday, is that like going to the night after they recorded Live Bullet? Where your friends are like, were you there for Live Bullet?
No, I was there the night after.
Well, the worst part was those were your tickets for Friday.
Right.
So
you bought season tickets for the 85 Tigers. Yeah, it didn't quite work out. Hey, thank you so much for calling. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye. What a present.
Let's play Reelin' in the Ears in Big Jim's house. Are you reeling in the ears?
First of all, thanks for stopping by Big Jim's house. Here's how Reelin' works. We have three clips from 1 year. All you have to do is tell us the year, and you will beat the box office for Scorpions,
Scorps,
and Whitesnake. Listen closely.
Everybody is there, even Carrie White.
Sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
Harry Reasoner, Barbara Walters, bring you the news.
Good evening. I have a new colleague to welcome. Barbara?
Thank you, Harry. Well, tonight has finally come for me, and I'm very pleased to be with you, Harry, and with ABC News.
Good. Harry sound a little more excited? Remember me. She's here. Wow. 248-398-9279.
What are they playing for?
Yeah, the pair beat the box office tickets to see the Scorpions with Whitesnake August 30th at Pine Knob. Tickets go on sale Wednesday at 313 Presents and Ticketmaster.com.
One night only. Scorpions gonna rock Pine Knob like a hurricane. Here I go again with Whitesnake. Harry, tell him about it.
It's gonna be a concert. There might be women there.
Fun.
Yeah. Barbara.
Music.
Fun, Barbara.
Hey, Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
What year are we looking for, Captain?
1976.
Well, put.
Yeah!
Here we go. You got it.
Thank you.
You are going to go see Scorpions and Whitesnake at Pine Knob August 30th. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
What are you up to today, man?
Headed to work.
Where do you work?
Royal Oak Fire Department.
Oh, we appreciate you guys, do there, man. Yeah. So everybody's good, and let me see. So you get your boots on. Literally, your fire boots, right, when you
I
get
do.
There? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Did you go see Miggy on Saturday for a 3,000?
I did not.
No, we Scott.
Were out of town.
Scott.
I know.
No, lie about it. We're all going to lie about it. Were you at Live Bullet when they taped
I was
it?
Watching.
Were you at Live Bullet when they taped it?
Thank I was
you.
There for that.
Okay, yeah, that and WrestleMania.
WrestleMania 3, you actually were there in the front row, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. Kiss Alive, you held up a sign that's on the back. Okay, you got it. Hold on, bud. Have a great morning. It was like yesterday, man. I left WrestleMania 3 and I drove from the Silverdome straight down to Comerica Park to watch the game.
Yeah, got there in time, too. Right. That's impressive.
And I had the reel-to-reel with Live Bullet, the original version. I captured it off the soundboard.
Wow.
The same morning. Because wow. That concert was, yeah. Our inside joke is this is going to be one of those things that 20 years from now, everyone and half the people in Detroit were there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Dude, you'll never believe my sports life. I was there for Miggy's 3,000th. I was there for the Malice at the Palace and the Brawl at the Joe.
Mags, I caught that ball.
Forget about that.
Miggy's the A's when he acted out. I caught it. That's me. No one's going to check you on it. Go for it. I don't know. So, yeah, Leland will join us at 8:15 this morning. There's some casino news we'll get to in a little bit, one way or another. We're going to announce it. We may have someone on to announce it for us. If not, we'll announce it.
Right.
But this is pretty cool. And it's a pretty significant change in the Motor City. So we'll get to that. You and I were just talking about something, and I'm 248-398-9279. What did you sell as a fundraiser? I was a scout leader.
Yeah.
And in Waterford. And we obviously sold popcorn. And Girl Scout cookies are definitely a thing. I still have two boxes I haven't picked up from Jason Brown.
Oh, you got to get them.
I bought them from his daughter. He did them online. And that was like 3 months ago.
Oh, he's eating them.
No, he told me. He keeps telling me. But I was trying to think of other stuff that you sell as fundraisers. I remember the 248-398-9279. Did you ever sell for baseball World's Greatest Chocolate Bars?
Not those ones. We did the boxes that had like the two different types of M&Ms and Snickers and a couple other candy bars.
We never did that for sports.
Yeah, it was one big box that had about 6 different items in it.
So how do they keep you? Well, you don't really like candy, so you're probably better at selling that. If I gave that to my kids, I'd be upside down $20.
Oh, I didn't sell any of it. I just gave it to my dad. He took it to his business and put it on the counter and just guilted everybody into buying it.
I can't really give you crap because my dad did the same thing. My dad was a purchasing agent, so his clients would come over to my dad's office, and he would put the chocolate bars or whatever it was when I was a kid for baseball on top of the checks, and he never said a word. Hey, Jim. And my dad's name was Jim. Hey, Jim. Yeah, hey, how you doing? Like, all right, fine. And then my dad would come over and go, here you go. You need another box.
Like, that or he'd just give me the $100 and be like, just keep the candy. I'm not driving you around.
Do you know how many parents would pull us aside going, if I just pay for all this, do I have to carry all this popcorn crap around?
Yeah,
like, yes. It's the kids learning something. Like, he doesn't really want to do this. What else did you sell? 248-398-9279. Can we say...
Oh, yeah.
What Megan's doing? What are they selling?
Yeah, for my nephew's baseball team, it's like $700 in booze.
In booze? That's the greatest raffle ever. And next to Stone Soup.
Yeah, they do that one, which is normal. And then the most the oddest thing that they've sold, and I bought them, are Mums. The plant.
What?
You know Mums?
I know Mums are.
Like the fall.
That's a thing?
Bush.
Obviously, it's a thing. You buy flowers?
Yeah. It was like 2 for $20 or something. But it's all just to support my nephews.
But I've never heard of doing the booze one before. That's pretty cool.
This is I think this is the second or third time they've had one that's been booze. But yeah, it's about $700 worth of it.
Oh, you know what? Someone texted one. We did this at Jano Adams at our elementary school, our kids. Little Caesar's Pizza Kits.
Oh God, that was huge.
Oh my God. Now
it's huge.
We wound up like, and you made a lot of money off those. Those are good.
That was part of just like regular PTA when I was in elementary school.
Let me see. Wait a minute. 586. Boy Scout fundraiser. We sold fertilizer. Had a deal with Scott's. It's not a bad idea. Think about it. Everyone's out this time of year. You walk around the neighborhood. People need fertilizer for the yard and stuff. You're not buying that?
No.
Oh, Tim, our hot dog guy.
It's a strange one.
Cracker Jacks. Okay. You sold Cracker Jacks? Okay, Suns hockey team sold poinsettias. There you go.
Yeah.
And the other 586, we got to call you in a little bit because we're concerned about you. What did they sell?
My body.
Stop.
I'm trying to think if there was any weird ones that we, the worst were can drives. That was the worst. Going around and collecting cans from neighborhoods.
Oh, no, those are fun.
Ugh. It's all just gross. And then you got to go return them. You got to do, like, double the work.
Again, this is a guy who was a pizza delivery man for a day.
No, it's supposed to teach you something. That's the whole point of
it. My mom just called her friend who owned two bowling alleys, and we'd stop there and just get them all and be done with it. It was awesome. Connections are the best.
It is amazing that you ever got a driver's license, that your mom still doesn't drive you to work in the morning. The reason we're talking about this is that Ryan's sister, they're actually doing a raffle. And it's a great raffle for school. For, it's for sports or school?
It's for sports. It's for my nephew's baseball team.
There you go. It's booze. It's like $700 in booze. 248-398-9279. Hi. Hey, good morning, Don.
Good morning.
So what did you sell?
Now, this is going way back. In about 1966-67, I was a campfire girl, which, of course, you don't even hear of anymore.
Right.
And we sold candy, boxes of candy. We're like those Whitman boxes.
I remember campfire girls. And, absolutely.
Yeah, yes. And they were $1 a box. And I'm telling you, I had neighbors that would complain about it. You got like 14 pieces of candy for a buck.
Well, okay, so Don, so my wife actually, for her band in high school, they sold light bulbs door to door.
Ah, that's tough.
Oh, no, that's funny.
Light bulbs.
That's tough.
Light bulbs.
Now, was that after they changed to like the LED type things or the things with the powder in them?
Nope.
Oh, interesting.
This was just, I'm convinced that the band director had a deal with somebody who had light bulbs and just like that fertilizer guy. I'm convinced. There you go. So, Don, you have a great morning. Appreciate you listening, too.
Thanks. Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. That's Texas, my body. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, go ahead.
734 texted and said, in elementary school, we sold socks with animal prints on them.
What? What? Garanimals? Oh, the can tabs were the worst. Now someone, that was Tim. However, now, our buddy Freddie the Pizza Man, he still popped that tab. If you have tabs, right, save them and give them to him. You can look him up on Twitter. And he helps out autistic children. He makes sensory deprivation rooms. And he's the guy that Portnoy gave, what, an 8.7 to?
Yeah.
Which is crap, because Portnoy was just in a... Portnoy should have given him a 9, the way he reacted.
Right.
But he didn't know how to do that.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to give 9s.
Yeah, he was conflicted. Hold on. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hi. What'd you sell, bud?
I sold light bulbs for my hockey team. I graduated in 84 at Waterford Ketterings and Waterford, too. So I played a lot of hockey, and we sold light bulbs and went on paper drives and everything, newspaper drives.
Paper drives were a thing, right?
Wow.
You went around and collected newspapers that people weren't using, then you have to bundle them up, right? Remember?
We had to take them to Lakeland Arena.
Yep.
And dump them in a big bin, and they, I don't know what they did after that, so.
I remember that. Thank you, Dan. Wow. Have a good morning, bud. Yeah, paper drives. Because people would have stacks of newspapers, the Free Press and the News, just sitting there in their garage right by the door.
Right.
And you're like, we have those? And like, yeah, and then you'd go recycle them.
Wow.
Here's what I haven't heard. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Wonderful. What did you sell?
I sold concentrated bottle soap.
That's a new one.
I sold, I don't know how many I sold, but I got enough to buy like 3 extra football jerseys, spikes, coats.
Oh, my God.
It was cool.
Door to door. And you're trying to not, what's your selling thing? Like, hi, sir, we noticed that you stink. Here's something you want to buy some soap?
Well, you know, it was a cleanser type cleaning soap. Not
A cleaning soap. Okay. It's not bad.
Yeah,
but
that's
a new one.
So it went over pretty good, I guess.
I love this.
Yeah, never heard of that one.
I love this. Again, if you're just stopping by, we're talking about this, what stuff you had to sell as a kid, or what stuff your kids have to sell, because your sister, Brian's sister Megan, they're doing a fundraiser with bottles of booze for a raffle.
Bottles of booze.
We should have done that one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have went over better back in the
80s. I know. Hell now, if we did Stone Soup tequila or something, man. Look at the guys at Detroit City Distillery. Ooh, we're on to something here. Steve, have a good morning, bud.
You guys, too.
Thanks, later, man.
Bye-bye. Also, all the raffle tickets have been sold. There's a few people texting and asking how they can get it on the booze thing.
See, there you go.
I appreciate it.
Oh, this is Sarah, by the way. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah.
What did you sell?
We sold oranges and grapefruits at our gymnastic team in the late 70s, early 80s.
You sold fruit?
Yeah, oranges and grapefruit, big boxes of it.
How did it go?
It went great, but it was a lot of work because we had, like, tons of oranges and grapefruit.
Hey, man, someone walked around my neighborhood selling oranges, I'd probably buy them. Yeah.
It was actually, it went really good. There were big boxes of oranges and grapefruit.
I've never, that's a new one.
Yeah,
Sarah,
I've never heard of that.
Have a great morning. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Bye. Stop with line four.
All right.
Brian?
Yeah.
Hi, what'd you sell to raise money?
We sold weed. We get an ounce of Colombian gold, the only kind you could buy, for $40, and we'd roll 100 doobies, and we would sell all 100 of them in 8 grade.
Stop. Stop.
I don't know. Was that sanctioned by the coach?
Or I don't think so. How is Coach Chong? Come on.
Yeah, it was Coach Chong, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're serious. You guys really did this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You went door to door? How did you just sell them? Wait a minute.
Gold in Hawaii.
So hold on. So, Brian, how did you sell them? Door to door? Did you just...
No. We just take a big baggie full and just full every day.
Okay.
Go to the smoking doors and sell them at the smoking doors.
Okay. All right.
That's great.
Entrepreneurs at a young age.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, that's the damnest thing. I honestly thought you were going to say that you were joking with this man. Brian, have a good morning.
Yeah.
Later. Good call. Okay.
That's
so. Level two is for bottom of boot, and he gets done. So we'll talk with John a little bit. You and I were discussing this in the studio. So your sister Megan, they're doing a fundraiser, a raffle. Hockey, baseball,
baseball. Yeah,
there's so many sports. They're all playing. And it was booze. Like $700 worth of booze. Great raffle. Sold out, right?
Good stuff in there. Yep.
They're kicking themselves now. They could have sold a lot more raffle tickets, probably.
Yeah, they could have. I almost missed it. I had to get in late yesterday.
You mean we had to get in late yesterday?
I got the 3 tickets right on my phone.
I'll split them with you. So what did you have to sell raising money, either as a kid or your kids? What did they sell? 248-398-9279. We're learning some of the most interesting things.
You see Shannon's?
No.
Shannon said, when I was in 5th grade, we sold fishing lures and bobbers.
That's kind of cool.
Dangerous. There he is, a big box of sharp lures.
248-398-9279 is our house phone. Hey, Matt, you've been holding on, man. Appreciate that, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, man. So what did you sell?
I sold 60-gallon trash bags.
Just door-to-door you sold trash bags?
Yeah.
How'd that work?
It was for a high school fundraiser for prom. And it was like $40 for like 20 of them. It was a terrible deal. And it was one of those fundraisers where your parents just write the check because it's easier than having to go door to door.
Right.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, there's some ways to sell them.
Yeah, like some of the parents always come up during popcorn. I was a cup master and go, can I just pay you? And we get rid of this stuff here. So,
yeah.
Wow. Trash bags, though. Yeah.
That's a new one.
That's a tough one to move, though.
Appreciate you holding on, too, Matt. Have a good morning, brother.
Thank you, too.
Bye bye. Jim Leland in an hour. Fishing lures and bobbers. Someone texted in and said, I've been asked to buy bed sheets and trash bags.
Yeah. So okay. Bed sheets, add that. That's what
bed sheets and trash bags. What a Dexter selling this stuff toward a door? Yeah. What is that? Okay, now people are just being weird.
Getting some.
Am I grabbing any of these calls? Because none of them look. No. I think Manju's just in a weird mood this morning because he actually didn't suck at bowling yesterday. He's just doing this to us. Tim?
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
You are, baby. So what did you sell?
Gas line antifreeze. Dry gas.
Oh, okay.
One winter in like 68. We financed a trip to Philmont, the Boy Scout Ranch.
You made a lot of money then, because that ain't cheap going out there, man. That's awesome.
Yep, we set it up at gas stations, at auto supply stores, and they were very cooperative.
Never heard that. That makes sense, though. Sound that the additive, man. Thank you, brother. Hey, appreciate you holding, too. Have a good morning.
All right, you too.
Right.
Bye.
Not bad.
I guess you can sell anything in a fundraiser.
That's what we're learning. Is there anything? Yeah. What else?
810 said, my kids in middle school sold shaped pasta. It was...
What?
It was super expensive, and then the band sold citrus fruit.
Then we had someone else that actually went door to door selling, what was it, grapefruits and oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they still do the entertainment books?
Oh, I remember doing those.
Do they still have those?
I think so.
I don't remember the name of the company, but you remember those? Like, you'd get those, and as a parent, I will say, and I'm sure it's a fine company, and you save a lot of money. We never used that thing once. You know where it sat? On top of the fridge, and we swore we were... You know, we get 87 pizzas for 12 cents, and then we never used it.
Well,
we never used it.
I think those died off after The Office had a famous scene where they are all fighting to win the book, but they end up spending, like they break it down. Like, you'd have to buy everything twice to actually get deals off of this book because of the...
I've told the story before. It's still the damnedest thing that's ever happened to me selling stuff. Was we got kicked out of a Starbucks because the kids were too nice.
Yeah, that's an odd one.
And that's 100% true story. We were in, I don't even think that Starbucks is there anymore. It was the one in Auburn Hills over by Great Lakes Crossing. So we were there, and we had kids, and we had Tiger Cubs with us that morning. So we set the table up outside. And Tiger Cubs, if you don't know, are the little kids, kindergarten or first graders. So we told them all, we always tell them, like, the whole point of selling popcorn was they need to learn how to talk to people. In business, there was like a whole list they had to do. They didn't just go, hey, that's popcorn. My dad says good. We made them do it a certain way. And part of it was ask them when people are leaving, not when they're going into the store. So the little kids were there, and they would open the door for everyone. And then they would say, thank you. And that was, I didn't ask them. They didn't pitch them anything. And then they were leaving. So how would you like to buy some Cub Scouts popcorn?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no, I couldn't. And you'd have people pretend they were on their cell phone and stuff. I'm like, it's not like the kid's going to cry if you say no.
Right.
We had someone turn around and go back into the store and complain that the little kids made her feel uncomfortable because it was too much pressure on her.
Oh, geez.
That they were being too nice. This is 100%. And the manager came out and was so apologetic. Lady came out and said, I'm so sorry. You guys have to leave. I'm like, oh, my. What did we do? I'm looking around going, what did we do?
Yeah, you're trying to.
And she said, no, you were too nice, and you made someone uncomfortable, and they didn't like feeling guilty about popcorn.
That's a personal issue to work on. Come on.
And how do you tell these five-year-old kids who are just sitting there looking at us? I'm like.
Well, because then they're convinced that they did something wrong.
Right. Well, I flipped the table over going, you little jerks, and then we left. No, we had to pack up and leave. That was the craziest thing, man. Wyandotte Band in a mattress fundraiser?
Yeah, just this past weekend.
So, did it work? Okay. Wow, you're right. Surprising calls. How cool is that? We were just trying to figure out what people are selling. You know, because your sister, again, the casino at Greektown. It's John Drake. We clap when you do radio interviews, John. It's required by radio law. You know that, right?
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm getting used to it already.
Well, first and foremost, congratulations, and tell everybody in Detroit what's going on in Greektown.
Sure. I mean, if you haven't been down to the property in a while, we've really been going through a transformation, which includes a number of renovations. And outside of those renovations and new lines of business that we've added, we're going to be also changing our name to, as you mentioned, Hollywood Casino at Greektown.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and there's so much going on, John. And now it officially is May 1st, right?
That's right. Yeah, okay. May 1st is when we're going to be official, and we're going to be celebrating throughout the month, but our grand opening is going to be on May 19th.
And I do want to mention something. One of the things that I really like about everyone at Hollywood Casino, I got to say it right, Hollywood Casino at Greektown, is your involvement in the community. I saw the first thing that jumped out was a $10,000 charitable contribution to the Greektown Neighborhood Partnership. We really do it for the event that you're doing. It matters that you guys are consistently part of the community in Greektown. It really shows, John.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and Greektown's very important to us. That's why we're not going to be losing the Greektown name. And, you know, community is important for us. As you mentioned, Greektown Neighborhood Partnership is an active group, and we're always looking to better the community and the offering for all the guests that come down this way.
Can I get a key for the Detroit Taco Company, since you guys are going to have that there? Just need a key. I won't bother anybody on the floor. Just want to go straight over to Detroit Taco Company and get a couple tacos.
Right. Well, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but absolutely, we're ready to unveil a few things. But we also have some other great tenants that are going to be announced over the coming weeks. So more to come.
How does a gaming at a casino, and tell me something I was reading about, and John, what you guys are doing. By the way, if you just joined us, this is John Drake, General Manager, Hollywood Casino at Greektown. That's right. Hollywood Casino at Greektown. That's going to be the new name. For folks who go to a casino, I like the idea that I can go and I don't need cash. I can do the whole cardless feature too. Is that something you guys are doing now?
Yeah, we just rolled out about a couple of weeks ago our new cardless, cashless, and contactless technology, which basically using the rewards app, you have the ability to just load a wallet similar to what you would do at a major coffee place, and basically download credits onto your slot machine. Or table games, and then when you're done playing, you can actually just move your credits right back to your wallet. And if you had to, you wanted to move those credits back from your wallet to your bank account, it's all done seamlessly.
Love what you guys are doing. Wow. See, isn't that cool tech? That's just cool tech.
It really is, and it goes along with the theme of everywhere downtown right now. Everywhere you go is card only, so keeping with the theme of that makes it easy for everyone.
Smart, John.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, and customers are really, really catching on, and it's easy to use. And yeah, you know, there's no fees at the ATM because we don't charge any fees as you download the app and use things. So
you guys, I mean, we got concerts coming to the music hall as well that you guys with the concerts, Ann Wilson, Pat Benatar, the music.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Of Queen, there's so much going on. We got $30 million renovation with the hotel, right?
Yeah, we're really excited about that. The hotel looks great. You know, we really wanted to focus on and being the theming of Detroit and bring it right into the hotel lobby and into the rooms. So it came out fabulous. And as you said, we got a great partnership with the Detroit Music Hall offering some great entertainment.
Hey, man, we appreciate the time. We know you're busy this morning, but we just wanted our listeners to know, everybody here at CSX, that, you know, we are obviously huge fans of Greektown and what you guys are doing now. Hollywood Casino at Greektown, that is the new name. John Drake, the general manager. I walk in the door. What's the one thing you want me to go see first? What's the one thing you go, this is so cool, you got to see this? Where are we going, John?
I think that the one thing that's still really cool and gets everybody excited is our new Barstool Sportsbook. The restaurant space as well, right on the gaming floor. It's exciting, and it's a lot of fun with the big screens. So come on down and see that, and we'll have a lot of other great things coming along the way.
Did you just invite Ryan to go to a Barstool place? You know he has to come back here for work the next day.
I haven't been there yet, but I heard it's awesome.
Oh, whatever, dude. He's lying like a rug right now. John Drake, General Manager, Hollywood Casino at Greektown. Anything you need, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Hollywood Casino
at Greektown. And I love that they kept the at Greektown part.
Yeah.
Because you keep that history in there as well, so.
Yeah, and by the way, if you didn't hear that, they are doing, they started a concert series, and they're using the music hall.
Which is awesome. And the acts that you've already sent them, that's incredible, yeah. Who they're bringing.
Yeah. Cool stuff. 727 now, you know. Jim Leland coming up at 8:15. We still got money, too. Our $500 fill-up, we'll give you that.
It ain't a lot.
We'll get to that one. It'll make you think. Is there anyone listening who is a fireworks shooter? 248-398-9279. I'll bet a buck, and I'll even let you pick which side of the coin you want to be on this one, Ryan, because I lost earlier today. And not like in your backyard, you actually do fireworks shows. There's a reason I'm bringing this up.
You know what? I'm going to say yeah, because we just had a guy on earlier who works at a fire department.
Right.
Isn't that part of their job for the city if they do fireworks shows?
I don't think so. No, they're there for safety. I don't think they actually
they don't shoot them off, too?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm still going, yeah.
Are there any professional fireworks shooters listening? 248-398-9279.
Is that the official title?
They call fireworks. The reason I was reading this over the weekend, some cities are canceling their summer fireworks celebrations because of a shortage of fireworks shooters. Fireworks companies say they experience a massive labor shortage.
Wow, I didn't know that was a job. I honestly always thought that the fire department shot them off.
No. Well, those guys, there's men and women that do that. We got a friend of mine, Lefty, Tommy No Thumbs, One Eye.
Yeah.
He's good. Stubby.
Yeah, there's none of them left. That's right. Why. Not the safest of gigs.
No. But do you know anyone that actually does that? See, obviously you don't because you thought the firefighters did
it. I had no idea it was a job. The old fireworks shooter offer guy.
Well, if you describe it like that.
It has the thing with the bing and the bang.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi.
So your husband does this?
My husband, yep. He works, he does a lot of the metro parks and all the ones at Henry Ford.
So are you hearing about the shop, the shortage thing too? Is this everywhere that they don't have enough people to do these shows?
He's still got, you know, some of his shows. But him and his brother and his dad helps out and stuff. I don't shoot them, but I go to a lot of shows and help out, like loading them.
So this them. This had to be like this is like a family business kind of thing, right?
Well, right. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, it's really cool. I just had no idea it existed.
Right. Yep.
So does that count for the dollar or not?
I think so.
Well, yeah, you would, Brenda. I mean, it's your husband.
Like your judgment.
Yeah. We'll figure that out. Hey, thank you for calling and sharing that with us. Have a great morning. Okay.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Bye.
Somebody said, how about the guy with the singed eyebrows? That's true. Neville, no eyebrows.
I don't know if that counts or not. Brenda, we love you, but...
We can give you one. I already got $1 off you today.
One of the most impulsive things ever done that we've all thought about doing, and they did. You hear the music. The Stone Soup Bronco, our 1974 Bronco, is being built from the ground up to raise money for Vets Returning Home, an amazing charity here in Roseville. Now, tickets are only $10 each. We're going to dyno this baby pretty soon.
I'm excited.
The Tricked Up 302. We don't know what horsepower. We know it's going to be between 400 and 500 horsepower. We'll find out. That's why we put it on the dyno. But here's the thing. You can buy tickets via text. So you're like, I want to, but I don't have time to swing by the radio station or go by, you know, pick them up from Vets Return Home directly. All you got to do is text us. The keyword is
Bronco.
And they have set up an amazing way. You get a link, credit card info. They'll text you and say, hey, did you want to buy 100 Stone Soup tickets or whatever number you want? One or whatever.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you'll get your tickets in the mail. Bada bing, bada boom. Thanks to Vets Return Home for doing this as well. A better way of doing this. So, yeah, keyword Bronco. Do we let our friends around the country know about this? I think we do, right? Because the goal is to raise as much money for Vets Returning Home as possible.
Right, yeah. I mean, like you said, that's what it's all about. So the more people we get in on it,
okay,
more money.
So keyword Bronco. And here's another thing. Maybe you've already bought your ticket. Just an idea. If you got time. We know there's rain rolling in and you might be busy. It's Monday morning. Text us keyword Bronco, B-R-O-N-C-O, and then take that thing and share it with your friends.
See what we're doing here?
There you go.
See what we're doing? We're networking.
It's easy to share it.
We're making miracles happen. I want to see all those phones ring.
That's a telephone reference there. Anyway.
So I don't know, dude. We could get 500 horsepower out of this bad boy. And that's naturally aspirated, by the way. No superchargers, no turbos, nothing. This is just a tricked out 302 from Livernois Motorsport. We need to call Joe. We'll call Joe over Bill Brown Ford because they're the biological parents of the Bronco.
Right.
So we'll call him in about an hour.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll be in by then. I don't want to bug him when he's just getting started. But we'll talk to them about this. I got to find out what's going on. We got stuff to do, man. We haven't figured out. We know it's going to be red, but we haven't figured out if we're doing hard top or soft top on it.
Oh, gosh.
We have a white hard top sitting there that is pristine.
It's pristine. Ah, something about that ragtop, though, right?
Yeah, just the look with it off, man.
You ever notice every time that we try to make a decision about Stone Soup, you and I have so much angst about it?
Well, yeah, you want to make sure you get it right, and it's done right, and it looks cool.
Damn. Now we're all nervous. Oh, by the way, Curtis and Terry, the owners of the Stone Soup Nailhead, way back when, that purple truck that we did.
Right, yeah,
the
very cool.
46 Dodge with the Buick Nailhead motor in it, they sold it.
Oh, wow.
They found, but it's the guy who donated the cab bought it.
That is
how cool is that? And they were by one of the best set of parents / winners of a Stone Soup car.
Talk about full circle.
CSX Big Jim's House, 751, about 9 minutes away. We will get you the first keyword, our $500 fill up. But first,
now, strange things are afoot in the Circle K. Big Jim's House goes deep into the world of weird. It's time to open the CSX Files.
Now, if you ever miss anything in the CSX Files, you can always subscribe. Just text us. The keyword is
file.
We'll send you the link right to your phone. Are we jumping on Facebook Live right
yes.
now?
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Hi, guys. WCSX, Big Jim's House on WCSX. If you're on Meta, I'm sorry. I think they changed the name officially. It's Meta now.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah.
Good luck getting people to call it that.
I'll see you at Tiger Stadium. Yeah, you know, you're not wrong. Let's start off in India. On Friday, a man was arrested because he was smuggling something into the country. 2 pounds of gold.
Ooh.
2 pounds of gold. Where would you hide 2 pounds of gold that is valued at $55,000? He had it between his butt cheeks.
That much gold?
2 pounds of gold between his butt. We have audio of the guy, actually.
You see, Mr. Power, shh. I love gold.
Oh.
Oh, 2 pounds. Wow.
2 pounds.
Whole new meaning to the word gold finger. anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Who had to go panning for that?
Right. T.S. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Mr. Brown?
Yeah.
2 pounds of gold. Why can't you bring it in? Is gold illegal there? That's this is the other question I had. Like, he's trying to smuggle gold into India. Into India. Well, that's a tough sentence to say, actually.
I mean, I'm sure if you're stuffing that much up your butt, then there's something illegal going on.
Put 2 pounds of gold up your butt. Eddie Murphy's like, I have a new lyric. I'm going to write this down. I did not play the song because we played it last week, and we can only play Boogie in Your Butt so many times a week. 2 pounds of gold up his butt.
Man, somebody was going to take that butt gold and make a necklace out of it, and it would have been sitting right by your nose. Can you imagine that?
Quit calling it butt gold.
It is. It's butt gold. You got foo's gold.
Butt gold? I don't think our friends at Tappers are going to do a commercial about butt gold anytime soon. Just in time for Mother's Day. There you go. Get Heidi some butt gold for Mother's Day. Wow. Second story there, Logan.
So there's a family that was sleeping, and they kept for a couple of days noticing that there was a lot of snoring going on.
Yes.
But nobody in the house was snoring. So they got a little nervous and had the local authorities come over and check underneath the house. Guess what they found in this crawl space?
2 pounds of gold.
They found a mother bear along with 3 of her cubs. Sleeping, they were hibernating in the people's crawl space.
Makes sense. Kind of a natural cave.
Yeah, it's nice and warm underneath there, but could you imagine that?
No.
Bears just under your house. No. The animal control that came out, though, they said, you know, we're sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but
okay.
Did you see the other part of the story, though?
No.
The bears were wearing shoes, though, so it was too cold to go barefoot. I looked up bear puns online this morning.
Hey, Ricky Gervais, quit laughing at your own jokes before you say them. Wow. I was going to say you're better than that, but now with the dad jokes, you got a month, dude. You got to say, you got a month before you have a kid. Your dad jokes.
The barefoot one wasn't bad. It's delivery.
It is. I'll help you. Here's one. Ready?
Good? Yeah.
Okay, good one. Not the bear joke. I'm done with that one.
Okay.
Last story. Sacramento, California woman. This is what I was talking about with the impulsive moments. She was arrested for sliding off an American Airlines flight.
The plane was going to take off from Buffalo. Cynthia McKnight became upset, opened the cabin door, and deployed the inflatable slide.
Oh, man.
You tell me, someone listening right now, we haven't all thought about it. Doesn't mean you're going to do it. But we've thought about it, right? What would happen if I popped that door and does the slide really work?
Well, it does.
She slid down, began walking on the runway. Officers came out and arrested her. They don't know why she did it.
She was definitely just what you said. What would happen? Is there really a slide there?
We've all thought about it, right? Yeah. That's crazy. It would have been easier for authorities to see her. Have you ever, I think I told you, this is real, that they're experimenting with planes that will eliminate a sonic boom.
This is not a joke.
And they're doing this so they can actually do transcontinental flights over cities where you don't have the sonic boom. Now, the other tech that they were messing around with is something, because the sky is getting so cluttered up with stuff, invisible airplanes.
What?
Have you seen invisible airplanes?
No.
I can't see them taking off.
I get it. Invisible.
Impact. I-M-P-A-C-T. Now, you text that to 45911, or you can enter on our mobile app, which is awesome, or online at WCSX.com. You got till 8:15. It's James. You're still getting feedback on your bear jokes during the CSX files.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You'll be confident when you work on the puns there. James, are you calling about the bear puns? Because the story was there was a family of bears hibernating underneath a house in Sacramento.
Yeah. Well,
what did you, where are your jokes? Did you already throw them away?
No, I got them right here. My one joke was the...
You watered it up, though.
The animal control who came to investigate it said, sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Okay.
But there's some bears under your house.
So, James, that's your joke, the bear jokes, right?
Oh, just a little bit. I've heard the bear joke with the bears under the house for CSX files.
Yeah.
And that joke was just unbearable.
See?
I could barely stand it.
Okay.
It was barely laughable.
Oh, man.
I did giggle, man. You guys take care of yourself.
Thank you, James. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Wow. You need to contact James. Get it right for you, dude. That was really good.
Yeah, he'll be my ghostwriter.
You know, they were wearing Lions jerseys when they pulled them out.
Really?
Do you know whose jersey?
History does it. The third Tiger to ever do it.
How cool is that? Miggy gets 3,000, and then he keeps going, too. So, yeah, Miguel Cabrera, 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. The only guy in the history of baseball to win the Triple Crown and do that.
Yes.
Think about that. The history of baseball, only one guy. That is the one thing that blew my mind when I saw that. I kept going, that can't be right. That can't be right. It's right.
It's crazy. And as you add on more of his stats to that, you put his average on it, it goes down, you know, only a couple guys. And it's wild,
yeah,
man.
So he goes from, well, yeah, there's seven guys who have hit 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. Right, he's the eighth. I think is that right?
Yes.
33 people. But he's the only guy in the history of baseball to win the Triple Crown and do that.
And to be honest with you, that's another one I don't think you'll ever see again is a Triple Crown. Guys don't hit for average like they used to as well as power.
Yeah, they don't give you soup and salad anymore when you go to a restaurant.
Even they, you know, kind of. You know, are amazed at what's gone on. So I think pretty much as everybody is aware of what's happened.
I was reading somewhere, Jim, you were talking about the one thing that you really appreciated, his ability to pick up pitches. He just knows what's coming. Have you ever seen someone with that ability to that level?
Well, I think, you know, all the good hitters, I think, pick up the ball quicker. And Miggy's one of those guys, obviously. They just see the ball quicker out of the hand of the pitcher. And I think that's one of the reasons that they, you know, are such good hitters. Normally they stay in the strike zone, right? You know, most of the guys that aren't hitting right now are guys that are swinging the stuff out of the strike zone. You know, Miggy's not quite as good as he once was, but he still picks up the ball quicker than most guys. And I think the Pujols and the Bonds and all those great hitters, the George Brett's, they all have that in common.
How much of this is stuff, something you can teach someone, or how much of this is just God-given ability with someone like Miggy?
Well, I think a lot of it's just ability. I think, you know, your eyesight and your instincts. And I think he has a good feel of what the pitchers are trying to do for him. I think that's one of the things that also makes a good hitter. You know, they have a good plan going in. They know the history of the pitcher, what he's tried to do to him in the past. And so those guys, you know, they're smart. I mean, they look for pitches. They pick out pitches to hit. And they just have a better feel for it than the guys that don't hit.
It just felt right to hit it to right field, didn't it, for a 3,000? Yeah. It just felt right that he hit it into the opposite field like that.
Yeah, he's him and Maggio Ordonez are about two of the only guys that I know that could take it down and in sinker from a right-hand pitcher and hit it hard to right field. That's pretty hard to do. People don't realize how hard that is to do, but that's really tough to do. And Miggy and Maglio were two of the best at it.
We were talking about how, you know, the 3,000 hits, the 500 home runs, and Jim, but also the first and the only guy in Major League history to win a Triple Crown and do all that. That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no question about it. This guy's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to have 600 doubles here shortly. He'll be one of three players in the history of the game to have 500, 3,000, and 600 doubles. I mean, I think that speaks for itself. So, I mean, we've been fortunate to look at greatness over the last several years at Detroit. You know, he doesn't get the ball in the air quite as much as he used to, obviously. But, you know, still a great contributor to our ball club and just a great hitter. First ballot Hall of Famer, no question about it.
Absolutely. Hey, Jim, do you think we'll ever see 3,000 hits again? I was talking about it over the weekend. I'm like, I don't know with the way the game has gone if we'll see another guy get to 3,000.
Yeah, it probably will happen, I guess. But, you know, it's a little different game right now because the hitters aren't seeing the same pitchers near as much during the course of the game. With the way the relief pitching is kind of taking over the game and the lack of starting pitching going deep into the game, it's a little bit tougher to hit than when you're seeing the same pitcher for four at-bats, three at-bats.
Do you like some of the changes this year in the game, Jim?
Yeah. I like some of the things they're doing. I like next year I'm going to like it even more. I think when they put in a pitch clock, I think that's going to be a really good thing for the game. And you know, we just right now we still have too many strikeouts, and in my opinion, we don't have enough starting pitching going deep into the game because everybody talks about bullpens, but your best bullpen is a seven-inning starting pitcher because that gives you a chance to rest your bullpen guys and keep them fresh. And I know AJ's done a great job using our bullpen this year. You know, I think we're like fifth in all of baseball right now. Yep. So they're putting those guys in the right situation. And, you know, that's one of the keys to managing. So I think the game has changed a little bit, but I think there probably will be somebody that, you know, longevity is the key to that. I mean, guys that got 3,000 hits, they played a long time, obviously. So, you know, yeah, I think somebody will probably do that again.
Jim Leland with us, Big Jim's House, 94.7 WCSX. Was there, you mentioned the clock on pitchers. Jim, was there one pitcher that just made you crazy, that just took forever to throw?
Well, not really. I think it's more the hitters slowing the game down than the pitchers, to be honest with you. I think you got to get the hitters in the batter's box, and I think when you do that, I think that speeds up the game. So I think for the most part, it's the hitters slowing the game down more so than the pitchers. But I think when they have that pitch clock, the hitter's going to have to be in the box, and the pitchers, you know, there'll be some type of a penalty if they're not. And I think you just have to enforce that. I think the commissioner is doing a good job putting this stuff together, making plans going forward for the game. And, you know, we got to attract our young fans, and young fans like action. That's what they want. Young people want action. And right now, you know, to me, we need more of them because we're not putting the ball in play enough.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One thing about Miggy, I was thinking about this too, Jim, is his impact on Spencer Torkelson. When Torkelson can see a guy handling a situation the way he's done, you know, the way Miggy goes about his business. You saw that as a manager. Miggy's always been this way, though, right? Just takes care of his business.
Yeah, I think I said it when I was up there when they had a big day for him. You know, he's always played. He's played humble. He's played hurt, but most of all, he's played happy. Miggy has a good approach to the game. Of course, when you're as good as he is, it's a little easier for him than it is other guys. You know.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
But I mean, he's going to be a great influence on Torkelson. The kid's. He's coming along already, Torkelson. I think he's got three homers now or something. He's going to be a star in the league. It's just a matter of time. You just can't expect these kids to walk in there the first year and tear Major League Baseball up. It's not going to happen. So I think he's going to definitely hold his own. He's going to do well. At some point, Spencer Torkelson, in my opinion, is going to be a star.
How did you manage Miggy? Did you just kind of stay out of his way? Not stay out of his way, but you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of, you didn't really have to do a lot with him because you knew he was going to do what he does.
Well, surprisingly, I mean, we had a great relationship, but I did push Miggy. I wanted that greatness to, you know, you just can't take that for granted. And I did push him a little bit, but it was in a way that we had such a good rapport and we actually liked each other a lot. We got along great. So, you know, when I told him something, he understood that it was for his own well-being. You know, I didn't get on guys just to get on them, but you know, Miggy was great, and Miggy knew if you were serious and you needed to get a point across to him, he was great about it. He was an easy player to manage, to be honest with you, and you know, and just a thrill to watch. I mean, to be in that dugout that year, the Triple Crown, was one of the biggest thrills of my career. I've never seen anything like that.
We've been seeing more videos, Jim, of Miggy talking to other players, kids and stuff, and giving advice and talking about how winning's more important than statistics for him. Like after the Yankees game, he was not happy that they lost the game. He didn't care about right. the hits or anything. Could you see him as a manager someday?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, you know, the guys have been that great. I don't know that Miggy would have interest in that. I doubt that, to be honest with you, because of his success and certainly – you know, he's set financially for forever and ever and ever. So I doubt that. I you know, would he be around the game as maybe somebody that would go around the minor leagues once in a while, talk to the kids or stay in the game somehow that way? I think so. But I don't really think Miggy would want to day in and day out grind of being a manager. I doubt that. Would he be capable? Yes, I think he'd be capable. But would he want that guy? I doubt that very much.
Do you miss it?
Well, I miss the competition. Yeah, I certainly miss the competition. I miss the players. I don't miss all the travel and everything else that goes with it. I mean, I'm 77 years old. So, yeah, I really miss the competition. I miss the players.
Well, we appreciate everything you've done. We appreciate the time this morning. Jim Leland with us. And it was history. We got to witness history here in the Motor City with one of the best right-handed hitters ever, right? I don't think that's hyperbole, Jim. It's a fact, isn't it?
No question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a fact. There's no question about that. He's one of the greatest to ever play.
You're the best. You stay safe and be well, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Skipper. There he goes, Jim Leland. I love him. He's a great guy.
Hey, he's the best.
So, there we go. Miggy. I didn't want to use the word hyperbole, but we do tend to, you know, you may not know this, but we tend to hype things up a lot. You witnessed history on Saturday. It's K-Line, Ty Cobb, and Miggy. That's it.
Right.
In the history of the Tigers. That's insane. And I keep going back to the stats. The only guy in the history of baseball, 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. And then I forgot about the doubles.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, and you talk about where he plays. Him right. staying in Detroit for this long has helped with those doubles.
You kind of cut back on home runs, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you think if he goes and plays in New York where it's 315 to right, he's going to have less doubles.
It's true. Jim Leland, a Skipper with us. Great guy. 825. We'll have an update on Stone Soup. We got to find out what's going on with the Bronco. It's a big week. CSX Big Jim's house. 835. Hey, thanks again to the Skipper, Jim Leland. Coming on this morning, talking about Miggy. We'll have that, our Jim bits as well. Keyword is
Jim.
Jim. Did you have to look to find to make sure you had the right keyword?
No.
Shut up. You just...
I've never said that one before. Give me a break.
He looked down at it.
Okay.
About 10 minutes from now, our buddy Joe Hershey. What's going on with the Stone Soup Bronco? We'll get you an update. A 74 Bronco. Keyword Bronco, by the way. Get your tickets via text. Yep. You can have them right now. Today is a big day. Big day. It's Al Pacino's birthday?
Yeah, that's all right.
What has he done in acting other than everything? A lot of big birthdays today. A lot of stuff going on in history, you know. We're celebrating Miggy's 3,000th hit. No. Today is the perfect date. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Why is today the perfect date? I'll tell you what, we'll give you a pair of tickets to see Bill Engvall at the Fox Theater July 15th. If you understand why we keep saying today is the perfect date, 248-398-9279 is our house phone. It's a very specific reason / reference.
Yeah.
I can't say anything else about it or I'll give it away. 248-398-9279. Why is today the perfect date? And no, Donnie, we're not stealing your things. You should know. We're not doing that. Why is today the perfect date? You think anybody will get it?
I don't know.
My buddy just texted it to me.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that it's going to click for, but I had no idea until you mentioned it to me.
I'll give you a clue. Movie. 248-398-9279. Why is today the perfect date? Why are we making that reference? See? People are getting it. Why am I talking like that? I don't know. Is rain rolling in now? I thought it was supposed to be later. Looking at the windows here. Kyle, what's up?
Hey, I think today's a perfect day because it's not too hot and it's not too cold.
So, where are we getting that reference from? Come on.
I have no idea.
Oh, you're all around it. Oh, we can't. All right, hold on. I can't. We can't. It's a very specific reference.
It, yeah.
You got to know the reference. Why is today the perfect date? April 25th, the perfect date.
Oh, yeah. And he everything.
Actually, I thought he had it. Andrew.
Yeah, Big Jim, what's up?
Why is today the perfect date?
I say this in the nicest way possible, but why are two men referencing the movie Mean Girls?
It's not Mean Girls. Someone put you on hold now, smart ass, because you had the wrong movie. Andrew.
Snap and pop, dude.
Boom. Gina's got it. Gina.
Hello.
Hi. Why is today the perfect day?
Oh, well, because Miss Congeniality says it's not too hot, it's not too cold.
Ladies and gentlemen, all you need is what?
A light jacket.
Hold on, here's a clip.
Describe your perfect date.
It's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th, because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
There it is, Gina. You're going to go see Bill Engvall.
Nice.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
What are you up to today?
We are actually headed to the gym right now.
What's that? Kidding. Is that the thing where they serve pizza and then you work out?
It's a thing you go into and can't wait to get out of.
At least you're honest. All right, Bill Engvall, tickets are yours. The Fox Theater, July 15th. Tickets on sale, 313Presents at Ticketmaster.com. Have a great day.
You too, thanks.
Hold on. By the way, I don't know that people realize this. This is Engvall's last tour. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know it.
Yeah. This is it.
Wow.
This is done. Comedians.
Yeah, I'm starting Monday off real well here. Got a lot of update information for you on this Stone Soup Bronco. So.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me set the table for everybody, because Joe, if you don't know, is really fired up, and you are awesome about all this. $10 each, every ticket. Every penny from the ticket goes directly to vets returning home, this 1974 Bronco. If you want to buy them, you can get them via text message. The keyword, of course, is
Bronco.
And you guys are kind of the you're the biological parents of the Stone Soup Project. And Joe, you've been overseeing this. So now give us an update. Where are we with the body and the Bronco and what we're doing?
Okay, so our goal, and we thank you guys for taking it over, because we were originally going to do the entire project to the very end. But our goal is to get the body painted. And so right now, we've done an incredible amount of sheet metal work to this vehicle, from all brand new front inner structure, all new flooring, new quarter panels. Right now, what we're involved with is we had an issue with some of the aftermarket fenders being too long. They were a quarter of an inch too long. And our good friend, our good partner, Jeff and Pat from the Bronco Graveyard out of Brighton, found for us some brand new, never been used OEM fenders, which are a quarter of an inch shorter than these aftermarket ones. So the issue that we had most recently is the fenders were too long, and we weren't getting a good gap between the fender and the door.
So now, here's something. Right there, though, but that's something that, Joe, people are going like, well, it's only a quarter inch or half inch. It makes a big difference in the look of the vehicle. Yeah. It's got to be lined up right.
It makes a huge difference. And so the long and short of it is we've got these new fenders, and that's going to allow us to now weld into place our A pillars or front hinge pillars, our rockers, and our B pillars. So Once we get the fenders fitted, we can do the final fit on those that door opening section, weld that in place, and at that point, we're ready to body finish this bad boy and send it to the paint room. And we're excited for that to happen. The one thing you got to keep in mind, Big Jim, is tolerances back then were really loose, and today the tolerances are really, really tight. And those, I'm told that a lot of these places that manufacture these parts are using the original four dies, which would have been pretty much worn out by now, I would think. So that's some of the issue. But our goal, and you know this, our goal is we want our name is on that bad boy, on the body, and we want all the body lines to be perfect. We want the doors to open with ease. We've got these really nice stainless steel hinges that they sell. Wow. No popping when the doors are open. It'll be a nice, smooth door opening deal. The tailgate will line up nicely. We want the body on it to look like a modern-day vehicle with respect to tolerances.
And by the way, Joe, it's funny because what happens is when we have people who used to work or built Broncos originally or any of these stone soup cars, they'll come up and they'll stand there and look at the door and they'll look at the rear quarters and they'll look at the trunk and they'll look at the way the hood opens up and you're like, uh-oh, we did something wrong. And they go,
yeah.
Did you guys do this? And they're like, well, yeah, we Stone Soup, we all pitched in. Why? He goes, because we never had those doors lined up that good. Never. They were never lined up that well.
Exactly. The body on this vehicle will be tighter than it was ever designed to be by Ford. A couple other quick little things. So I want to give a shout out to Steve and Scott. Steve is our steel surgeon, as I call him, who's done the majority of the work on this vehicle, and he is just an incredible body tech. He's just a fabulous guy. He learns everything that can learn, and he's real proud. So he's wanting to make sure that the body is perfect on it. And we've got Scott, a guy with many, many years of experience in on the project as well, Scott and Dylan. So body-wise, we've got that part of it under control. I do want to say that our goal is a perfect body and then the paint. The paint is going to be outstanding because our paint work goes through a two-step wet sanding and polishing process, and that paint's going to be showroom all day, every day.
So, Joe, hold on. That's part of what we talked about with Stone Soup, that these vehicles, I don't think people understand. If you've never seen a Stone Soup car, these are show cars. It's a 74 Bronco, a ticket for $10, keyword Bronco. I'm sorry, Joe, I just wanted to mention, because as you keep talking about the level of detail that you guys are putting into this, I think it's important for people to understand that's the passion across the board. Everybody, Jeff at the Bronco Graveyard and our friends at Westland Precision Transmission who are doing the C4 transmission right now, the level of detail is stunning on this. This is going to be a showstopper. People are going to stop and go, where did you get that Bronco?
Yep, and we've received some love from Ford. Ford's been in on it as a nice silent little partner. But big shout out to Danny Millen and the guys over there at Liberty Motorsports. They built us a beautiful big bore small block 302 carbureted motor, mechanical fuel pump. It's old school, but think about it. You're going to take this vehicle. That vehicle remains in Michigan. Somebody's going to take that out, and they're going to run that, you know, on sand dunes. They're going to bust it through the woods, or maybe they're just going to cruise it around as a show vehicle. But it's going to be all balls. I mean, it's really going to be tough.
Yeah, we were talking, Joe. Like, so we're going to go over and dyno. We'll do that live on the air. We're going to figure out the timing on that, but we're going to be between 400 and 500 horsepower.
Yeah, Danny is telling me he thinks that it's going to be right at that 500 mark.
Really? Okay, so that's the goal. Dang. All right, Danny, you said it. So we've been hedging our bets on this one, Joe. But so 500 horsepower is the goal for this 302.
Yep. And another couple quick things. So our good friends at Fox Auto Parts in Belleville, Joe, the owner, lent us one of his older Broncos. He's got a real beautiful 66. I'm looking at it right now. That we were able to use to map out where this sheet metal went, because we didn't have any measurement diagrams on it. And we did get a lot of help from Ford Archives. Those folks are really cool. They helped us out with a lot of information pertaining to these vehicles. But ultimately, in the end, once this bad boy is painted, and you know, we do have to make that decision on that roof. But if we keep this pristine, beautiful roof that we have, you know, our original plan was to do like a matte black on it. And then the other thing we were going to do with the roof, but again, if we're going soft top, we're going soft top. But the other thing that we were going to do on the roof here is we were going to remove all of the fat, thick, old school weather strips that hold the glass in place cut four pieces of glass that are slightly larger and bond them in. Our guy Tom over here will bond that in and make that glass look like it's modern day where there are no moldings. So it'll look like a real modern vehicle. Okay. A couple other cats that are involved. We're going to have Jim Dockham, who does all of our wet sanding and polishing. This guy's a wizard. He's going to make sure that paint is standing tall. And then ultimately, in the end, you and I talked about us having the vehicle back in the end in order to do the final detailing by Wayne over here. And then Wayne's going to lay a nice, this is a little bonus for the ticket holder. Wayne's going to lay a nice little ceramic coating on not just the paint, but the glass and the wheels as well. So that vehicle's going to have close to a $2,000 ceramic coat job done to it as well in the end.
Keyword Bronco. So either way, this Bronco. Yeah. This is Joe Hershey at Bill Brown Ford. They're doing the work right now on the Stone Soup Bronco. Everybody's pitching it. By the way, if you want to get involved, again, stonesoup@wcsx.com. That is our email address. Joe, we appreciate everything you're doing, all the men and women there at Bill Brown Ford, and making sure that this is going to be a world-class Stone Soup vehicle, and we're going to raise as much money as possible for our friends at Vets Return at Home, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. And yeah, the red the listeners voted. I know you and I are talking off air. We'll figure that out pretty quick. I know Doug Benziger, our project manager, too. We'll get this nailed down. Joe, God bless you guys. Please tell everybody there thank you so much, and we appreciate the time this morning.
Yeah, and thank you to all of our veterans and everything that you guys are doing at the radio station. And we'll be seeing some real progress here as far as paint, probably within the next month. So good to you guys, and thank you for having me on.
You're awesome. All right, we'll talk to you soon. There goes Joe Hershey, Bill Brown Ford. See, we keep talking about just the fact that it's a Bronco,
right,
and the motor, but you heard from him. This is a show car you're going to win.
Oh, yeah.
This is a show car. One of these Amicum, I think, just went for $115,000.
Wow.
And that's stock.
Wow.
This is going to be a little bit more in stock. And Danny, you shouldn't have said 500 horsepower.
Now we got to get there.
We can say, okay. Right? Can
yes.
we? Okay. I don't want to put him in a bad spot, but they said it. We didn't. We were saying between 4 and 5. Okay, now you understand. Keyword Bronco, B-R-O-N-C-O. Just text us nothing but that. Get your tickets via text. And I can honestly say it, before they sell out.
Yeah.
They're not unlimited. They will sell out. When this truck starts to go, or Bronco starts to go national, and people start noticing what we're doing here, and it's coming. It's coming in a hurry. I'm moment of the day. You ready? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. When the tickets sell out and someone goes like, oh, I was going to get a ticket. Well, don't wait. You heard what it is.
Yeah, jump on there, keyword Bronco, and get them.
I'm trying to convince somebody if I can change my name on my credit card thing. Joe O'Brien.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.